Welcome to VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
This is such a powerful book. You got to get this book. Maybe you can see it on the screen, but it gives you such a perspective of the Arab people and how that you're raised and your community does make a difference. If nobody ever told you about Jesus, how are you going to know about
you're
Jesus?
You're a product of your environment.
If everybody told you the Jews are bad and you never got a chance to interact with the Jews, then that's what they believed until he met the Jews and found out that they treated him well, and instead of, you know, doing terrible things to him, they gave him money and said, why don't you go to school and get an education? Mm. They gave him thousands of dollars. Why don't you start a business? And it just blew his mind because he couldn't figure out, you know, it's this total opposite of what's going on. And then we have, you know, Kamal Saleem, when he comes to America as a radical jihadist and he meets Christians, and it blew his mind because he was taught that Christians are evil and bad. And here he was in a car accident. He got put in the hospital, and Christians just gathered around him, brought them into their house, hit him to their house, loved on him, helped him back, gave him a car, and he made Jesus the Lord of his life through that. And it's like,
yeah.
The answer is the missions, you know, us, all of us going into all of the world. And we have listeners and viewers all in the Middle East and in Jordan and Saudi Arabia and all over the place. Mm-hmm. And, you know, By you standing with VFN TV as a partner, you're helping to get this testimony out there and this truth. But think how big this is. This is the son of Hamas leader, the leader, well, first of all, the daughter of the Muslim Brotherhood major leader, Uma Abedin. She is the assistant for Hillary Clinton during the time of her being Secretary of State. And she's like the daughter of a leader in the Muslim Brotherhood. And but this is like her getting saved. Her giving her life, the son of Hamas. So here he is speaking in Jerusalem, who was a former enemy of Israel and the Jews, who now is a friend of Israel, a friend. He's a believer in Jesus Christ. He's a brother in the Lord. And he's speaking at the Jerusalem Post. And his name tag says, son of Hamas. Let's go there now.
Thank you very much. Wow, great energy. Thank you very much for having me. It's a great privilege. The Jerusalem Post annual conference. The first time I got to know about the newspaper was in prison about 20 years ago. First, I wanted to learn English. And this is why I started to read the Jerusalem Post. But eventually, it became my window towards the Jewish world and towards the Western world as well. 16 months in Israeli prison, reading almost every day. So I have some connection to the Jerusalem Post somehow. I don't know where to start, but you can use your imagination of the son of a top Hamas leader, and what in the world is he doing at the Jerusalem Post annual conference? They gave me a tag. I don't wear it right now, but they had on it the son of Hamas. And I went through security all the way to the backstage. You gotta trust them, guys. 2 guys working on the top of a very high building. One Jewish and the other guy is an Arab. The Jewish guy opened his lunch and there was a shawarma. And he said, enough shawarma. If tomorrow my sandwich is gonna be shawarma, I will jump and kill myself. the Palestinian guy or the Arab guy opened and was falafel. And he said, no more falafel. If tomorrow falafel, I'll jump, kill myself. That's it. Next day, the Jewish guy opened the sandwich and it was shawarma. He threw it on the side, came very fast, jumped, killed himself. The Palestinian opened and it was falafel and he was very furious. And he said, I said, enough falafel. He threw it, he jumped, killed himself. At their funerals, the Jewish wife was crying very hard, saying, I don't know what's his problem. If he told me, I would have changed it to something else. The Arab wife was crying bitterly and saying, I don't know what's his problem. I don't know what's his problem. He makes his own sandwiches. Okay, back to the story. It's very hard, you know, to encapsulate a human journey, a human evolution in any form of language. Rather than English is not my mother tongue, but I try as much as I can. Truth at those heights cannot be conveyed in any form, actually. Not a movie, not a book, not a speech. We cannot reduce ourselves to words that cannot defend themselves. And somebody is going to take this speech, take it out of the context, and serve maybe some Palestinian agenda eventually. This is how it works. People don't see things for what they are. But I'm sure that some of you at least will understand where I'm coming from. At some point, I was paid by the Israeli government, by the US government, by the Palestinian Authority, and by Hamas organization. I was working for all those guys at the same time. So today, if I speak, I speak with the authority of experience. It's not from the books. It's not a second-hand knowledge that I got from somebody. I don't represent government or politicians. I represent myself. I am an individual. I am not an organization. And I don't like to take sides, because I don't belong to nations. I don't belong to the crowd. I have transcended this long time ago. But the Jewish nation is dear to me. And when I see nations unifying against the Jewish people, it hurts me. Because at some point, I thought the Jewish people were the enemies of humanity. I thought that they were the enemies of our people, the Palestinian people, until I came to experience what the Jewish nation really is through intelligence service, through witnessing the true democratic model. In an ocean of darkness, the only light in the Middle East. And I wonder, people here in the free world who think that they are free, unifying against Israel, attacking Israel, isolating Israel, boycotting Israel, BDS and all this hypocrisy. Of course, hypocrisy coming together with political correctness, because it's the same. Two faces for the same coin. In the Muslim society, I witnessed a woman who sent five of her children to die in suicide bombing attacks, one after another. She would put the explosive belt on them and bless them and say, go kill the Jews. To gain respect in her society. This is hypocrisy. My father disowned me because he's a hypocrite. On a personal level, he's a loving father. But when he puts the Hamas mask that he cannot exist without, he's a monster, he's something else. And this is the problem with that society conditioning. that if you take individuals on the side, they're just human beings like us. Any of us could have or have been brought in that environment would be conditioned in the same way. The human condition does not differentiate between an Arab or a Jewish person. But the collective mind of the society is representing something. It's representing an ideology, a culture, a state of consciousness that calibrates in darkness, that calibrates in the 7th and 6th centuries. Ruled by tribal lust for power. It have not changed, or it has not changed. Muhammad, and I know that I've been told by people here not to say this, so it does not look like the Jews are going against the Muslims, but we cannot fool ourselves. There is an Islamic problem. Al-Qaeda, Hamas, Hezbollah, Islamic Jihad, ISIS, Boko Haram, all of them are killing by the name of Allah. They're not killing by the name of Jesus. They're not killing by the name of Jehovah. They're not killing by the name of Mahavira or the Buddha or Lao Tzu. They're killing by the name of Allah. There is an Islamic problem, and I think humanity needs to stand against this danger, because this danger is not only against the state of Israel. This danger, thank you, thank you. This danger is against the evolvement of mankind.
We'll be right back.
Before Luke Skywalker and Han Solo, there was an earlier defender of the galaxies.
Galileo, a pioneer of the telescope, was a renowned scientist and devout Christian. He spent much of his life defending the idea that the sun was at the center of the universe. However, the church in the early 1600s firmly believed the Bible taught that the earth was the center of the universe.
The Roman Inquisition ruled against his scientific method, and Galileo refused to recant. He believed that science could aid in the study of the Bible. In 1633, at the age of 70, he was put under house arrest until his death 9 years later. Galileo quoted an early Christian theologian contending,
"God is known by nature in his works, and by doctrine in his revealed word."
Experience the book that shapes history by visiting motb.tv. Take part in viewing this historic short film campaign by interacting with the film, the commercials, and the book itself. This fall, experience the book together, brought to you by Museum of the Bible.
We had a chance to be in Alabama at Church of His Presence with Pastor John Kilpatrick recently, and Rose came up, and shout out to Rose in Alabama. And she was talking about how she's already began to abide with the Lord. We have a short period of time. If you don't know his voice right now, you need to learn his voice, because there's so many people going to jump up now. They're going to jump up and say they heard from God. And this is some of the words you're going to hear. You're going to hear the whole prophetic word coming on VFN TV soon that was given by John Kilpatrick. John Kilpatrick just recently. Mm-hmm. And that God spoke to him specifically in his dream. And we have 4 months, and then we're going to harvest whatever we choose to do. And it's not going to be good if we don't repent. But if we repent, which means abide with the Lord, begin to live a life, a righteous life, righteous in Christ through his mercy and grace. But hey, if we never pick the Bible up at all, how if the Bible is full of truth, I mean, think about this. If the Bible is full of truth and the enemy is a liar and the father of lies, how are we going to identify that he's lying to us if we don't know the truth?
Right. Got to know which is which.
It's like Josiah. He didn't know what a lie was until he found the word of God hidden in the temple. He said, "Go clean that church building out.
Right? Look what something we found." Like. Yeah.
And all of a sudden the priest runs out and goes, hey, I just happened to find the scriptures here. Right? And when he read them, you know what he found out? I know we got to go to break. But listen, you know what he found out?
We're in trouble.
Is it good? God is mad at us.
God's angry with us.
Yeah.
He said, God's angry with us. And it wasn't God got angry because he read the word. He just found out God's emotions that were already going along. He was angry. He was about to destroy a nation. But he stopped it because he understood and got in the word. You've got to go to iabide.org today. Get your abiding plan. Get on Emmaus Road and become a disciple. You can go to vinefellowshipnetwork.org. Look at the menu for Hello Church. It drops down. You have Emmaus Road and you choose your path.
Did you know that 90% of boys and 70% of girls are exposed to pornography online? Meanwhile, 71% of kids say that they're hiding internet activity from their parents. In 56% of divorce cases today, a major contributing factor is one spouse's continued use of inappropriate content online. What are you doing to protect your family online? Covenant Eyes Internet Accountability monitors how the internet is used on your family's mobile devices and their computers. Each web page visited is rated similar to TV shows or video games, like T for teen or M for matures. And as a parent, you can receive weekly reports for your kids. Plus, you can invite your friends to receive reports for your internet activity, which enables you to enjoy the benefits of accountability and protection online as well. Sign up today.
You know, a lot of people want to abide with the Lord, but they just don't have a plan to do it. You can request that plan today at iabide.org.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
We cannot fool ourselves. There is an Islamic problem. Al-Qaeda, Hamas, Hezbollah, Islamic Jihad, ISIS, Boko Haram, all of them are killing by the name of Allah. They're not killing by the name of Jesus. They're not killing by the name of Jehovah. They're not killing by the name of Mahavira or the Buddha or Lao Tzu. They're killing by the name of Allah. There is an Islamic problem, and I think humanity needs to stand against this danger, because this danger is not only against the state of Israel. This danger, thank you. This danger is against the evolvement of mankind. Political correctness. I don't know if there is any CNN reporters or representatives here tonight. You know, political correctness, when my friend invited me to his wedding and he asked me to wear a tuxedo, and I thought it was a speedo for a second. There is a big difference, right? That would have been politically incorrect. But when it comes to matters, universal issues, when we see waves of violence and darkness taking over and spreading, and we choose to stick our head in the sand with the name of political correctness, the truth is that we are afraid. And we are trying not to provoke them more. We are trying not to create a religious war. But there has been a religious war, whether you like it or not. The better way is to face it, to grow up, and face it with courage. This is what I say. The problem is not in the individual. We are not against the Muslim people. I cannot be against my mother and my father and my people. They're just people. And there are idiots everywhere in every nation. But I'm talking about the collective consciousness of nations, of regions, and the cosmic consciousness of all humanity. The Muslim people have a problem, and their problem is in their belief system. They have to face it, and we need to encourage them to fight the good fight, as I did. If I was able, you know, I had privileges as the son of a top Hamas leader. I had something to lose. But the average Muslim person don't have lots of things to lose. They're already living in darkness and in misery. If they leave it, it's better for them. When I left, I did not leave misery. I left privilege. I left position. I was paid. I was protected. Everybody wanted me to stay wearing the mask. I am a living example and a challenge, and I will continue to be to every individual who lives in the Muslim world, that this is the time to grow up, to destroy the walls, and to transcend the conditioning of the society. This is the only way. But to tell them, no, Islam is a religion of peace, we just create the perfect climate for terrorists to keep on growing. I say otherwise. Our problem is not with the individual, our problem is with the belief system, that humanity and the free world need to unify, as eventually, even though it was too late, the world unified against Nazism. Today, free people need to unify against Islam, not against the Muslim people, against Islam itself as a belief system. When the president of the free world stands and say, when the president of the free world stands and say that Islam is a religion of peace, he creates the climate, he provides the climate, the perfect climate to create more terrorism. I hope that my message does not come across. I don't want to create more chaos, but there is no other way. You know, I wish I could be more gentle to represent this issue. But I've seen death, and I came from hell, and it's very dark. What is the alternative for Israel and for democracy or for the American Constitution? It's the darkness of the 6th century. This is what's the alternative. You know, I don't believe that there is any system, including the American Constitution, that can solve the human condition or help the individual to integrate to a higher state. I believe this is up to the individual. But the difference between the 7th century environment and democracy, that the individual has more room and more peace or peaceful environment to grow. I experienced it myself. When I was in Ramallah, I was only able to practice Islam. I only knew the mosque. But in Tel Aviv, I practiced Christianity. When I was a Muslim also, I practiced Islam in Jerusalem, the capital of Israel, where the Jewish people are not allowed to worship at their Temple Mount. Then a bunch of hypocrites called BDS come and compare Israel to the racist regime of South Africa. How can you compare? If it's the capital of the Jewish people and the Israeli government are not allowing the Jewish people to worship freely in their capital, on their holiest site, for political correctness, not to offend the Muslims and give them that kind of freedom, how can we compare this to that? In Tel Aviv, I was able to practice yoga. I was able to practice Christianity. They're Muslims, they're Druze, they're all type of people, all type of religions, protected under the Israeli umbrella and the Israeli law. This is not available in the other countries surrounding. If Israel is destroyed or if Israel is isolated, what is the alternative? What those people are doing, I really don't understand. I know that I came across pro-Israeli this afternoon, but it has been a privilege. Why not? I love Israel. I love what Israel stands for. its ethics, its values, its democracy, its love, a nation that was able to overcome the Holocaust, and instead of playing the victim mentality and blame everyone for their suffering, they were able to build a state, a democratic state, make it from a newborn state to an advanced and completely developed state in less than 25 years. This is a great example. It has been a pleasure. I appreciate the love of the Jewish nation everywhere in the world. I don't care what they label me. Again, I speak with the authority of experience. If they have anything to say, they can say it right to my face. If they have the courage, but I doubt. I would like to conclude with another joke, if you don't mind. Well, I take the advantage, and this is a Jewish crowd. Let's make a joke about Jewish people. So this Jewish guy, and also a Muslim guy, the first guy, the Jewish, fell off a cliff, and luckily there was, actually vice versa. The Muslim guy fell, and there was a branch, and he was hanging on the branch. And he was screaming to God, God, help me. Then he heard a voice from the cloud coming, and he said, son, let go. Just let go, trust me. And he let go. The guy fell, his bones were destroyed, and God said to him, you idiot, you shouldn't listen to me. Next time, you learned your lesson. And a Jewish guy fell, and he was hanging on the branch, and he said, God, help me. And he heard the voice, son, let go, trust me, just let go. And the Jewish guy screamed back and said, help, is there anyone else up there? This tells us maybe the difference. Thank you so much for coming. God bless you. God bless Israel. Thank you very much.
What a powerful, powerful, yes, powerful speech. This in its entirety will be on the VFN Torch. Go to VFNTV.com. We're going to go to a break. That is Mesaab Youssef. Like I said, his book is Son of Hamas. Powerful, powerful testimony. Invite him to your church to come and speak at your church. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you've joined us. Don't forget you can join us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Download our app and sign up for our newsletter, The Torch,
at vfnkb.com.
I've enjoyed our time together. God bless.